confusion fills my life, and my world inside is torn apart. When the road just seems too rough, and discouragement just grips my heart, I lift my eyes and see the one who died for me is standing there beside me and said so tenderly.
Thank you, Nick. Let's stand together. We'll read a couple verses. I know you've stood much tonight, so it'll be brief. We missed a couple of announcements. Let me get these to you. The 10th Annual Teen Spectacular is 2 weeks away on Friday, October 24th at 6 p.m. If you've not already signed up, please do so with Miss Edgel. I think there's a table in the hallway there. Cost is $10, but it goes up to $12. That's today. So are they going to get a break on that, or does it start tomorrow? I don't know. Give your $10 and just claim ignorance, okay? So if not, it's $12. And then Walk with God meeting continues after the service in chapel. And just let me say this. One thing we always have done on Friend Day, and it's very helpful, we want to thank our visitors who come early for Sunday school. So we give them a little $5 gift card to Starbucks. So what we do is for a couple of weeks, we're going to take a little offering, and maybe we can all buy a couple cards here or there to help us that offset that expense. At the end of the service, ushers will take an offering, and all of us just buying some will help us out with that. So just a reminder about that. All right, turn your Bibles. I'm sorry, I should have told you. To 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll read the first 9 verses. In 1 Kings 17 is where Elijah burst onto the scene. Elijah's one of the great prophets, and then he also helped train another one of the greatest prophets, was Elisha. But this, in 1 Kings 17, Elijah comes forth onto the scene, and we're going to look and see what it's about. Verse 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab was the wicked king, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. So Elijah hops in the scene. He goes to the king and says, it's not going to rain for a while, according to my word. Now, his word was coming from God. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, talking to Elijah, and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what we've had today. Lord, it's been a tremendous day, a great day. Lord, we've had fun together. Lord, we've been in Sunday school. We've been in church. We've sang. Lord, we've done a lot of great things. And tonight we come to the end of our night, and we pray that you would bless us as we seek to hear from you, Lord, something that would encourage us, something from your word that would strengthen us and help us to get through the difficulties of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kirill. I just want to give it to you. Straight, sideways, it doesn't matter. In this story here, we find, as I mentioned before, Elijah burst onto the scene. God sends him. And really, he's coming in as an agent of judgment on the land. And there's a particular judgment that he's bringing because of the way the people in Israel were living, because of their disobedience to God. The particular judgment there was that it would not rain. When it doesn't rain, what does that cause? A drought, right? How many of you know that's what's going on in our country, in our state right now? And by the way, droughts in that time were particularly hurtful. They didn't have all the different, they didn't have the technology we have to get outside help. And so it was very, 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 it was a lot rougher on them than it is on us, although it is hurtful to us. By way of illustration, California, we're experiencing a drought. It doesn't rain here very much either. Hopefully that'll change this year. And it's, by many estimations, the drought that we're experiencing now is one of the worst that California has had. When we have droughts, of course, it affects the cost of our food because the crops aren't as abundant. In California, so far, they estimate that the cost of the drought is $2.2 billion in lost revenue, with a loss of over 17,000 jobs. In the San Ynez Valley, if you get caught wasting water, they not only fine you, I think this is funny. They send you to water school. Now, let's be honest. How many have ever been to traffic school? Okay, I've been to traffic school. It's better when you do it online, all right? But they have water school. They're going to teach you how to be more water efficient. We have more earthquakes because of droughts. We have more wildfires. It affects our air quality. Now, look, I am not a conspiracy theory type of guy. I don't believe there were aliens in Roswell. There may be some now. They're called citizens and politicians. I don't believe that our government ran the planes into the buildings on 9/11. I think that's a bunch of foolishness and nonsense. And I don't think there was 100 people out to kill John Kennedy, okay? Just, we have all these conspiracies we live with. But let me say this. God does send judgment when we turn our back on him. And I just wonder if maybe the economic problems we've had and the drought we had could be because California is one of the worst states in the union. We're one of the most liberal states there is. Our politicians are clueless, and I'm not preaching against the politicians here, but since you asked, you know, we have all these economic problems, and our governor thinks he needs to eliminate paper bags from our stores. That's going to solve everything. He's a nutcase. We should have known that, in a good way. We are so interested in things that have nothing to do with the reality. Things aren't going well in our country. The economy is still bad. Everything's still bad. And our politicians are doing everything they can to close God out. And as long as they do that, we're always going to have problems. We need God's blessing. And we need his help. That's what was going on here. Elijah pronounced judgment. Now, the good thing was God had provided and given him the instructions to make sure that he would get through it. It was going to be a hard time, but it would not be fatal for him. If we were to look through the scripture and you could read through it on your own, there are many causes of the drought here. Their leaders and their rulers were wicked. And by the way, that's about where we're at too. They had false God worship was everywhere. They were supposed to worship the true God. They were God's people on this earth, the agent by which Jesus Christ would be born, and yet they had turned their back on God. Not only had they turned their back on God, they were antagonistic towards those who did worship the true God. Sounds a lot like today. You say, I don't believe that's true. Try to get a Bible onto a public school campus. Try to go down to City Hall and they're going to have prayer time and pray in the name of Jesus. That's not allowed. They have it. They wanted someone from our church to go pray there. So Pastor sent Brother Pichardo, not Brother Ray Pichardo. He sent Brother Winnie Pichardo, and he got a list of regulations to pray. And they said, you can't pray in the name of Jesus. Brother Pichardo went down to pray, and he felt led to pray in the name of Jesus anyhow. Now, you can pray in the name of anything else, and it's okay. Why is it just Jesus they pick on? Because we're getting antagonistic towards our Lord. They disagree. If you look back in this time in which Elijah lived, they had a disrespect of God's prophets and also of God's message. As we mentioned today, it sounds a lot like today. You know, we live in a drought-ridden society. And I'm not talking about the hard times we live in, although I think that's part of it. We do have a bad economy. It is harder to get a job than it used to be. Finances are tougher. Things are worse. Spirituality in our country is way down. Problems and hardships are way up. The economy is down. Politicians are clueless as to what to do. They're more interested in making restrooms, you name it. You want to go in, whatever you want to decide to be, you can be that. Truth is being suppressed. And not only along those lines, sometimes God brings or allows problems into our life, trials. And we feel sometimes in our life like just going through a hard time. Well, the message tonight is, how do we get through those drought times? Because if you're a Christian, God wants you to get through them. God wants us to make it through difficult times. But how do we make it through a drought? Let me give you several points. Number one, I would say this. When you're going through a drought, be where you're supposed to be. Amen. Just be where you're supposed to be. Verse 2 and 3 of the verses of the chapter we read says, and the word of the Lord came unto Elijah saying, get thee hence. In other words, get out of here. Turn eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. You see, he went to deliver the message, but God had a very specific place where he was supposed to be. And regardless of the fact there was a drought, he would make it through there as long as he stayed where God told him to stay. Verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. God's going to take care of him. What usually happens in times of hardness or times of trials, we run. We run. We take off. We quit being where God. Listen, just because we're having a hard time where we're at does not necessarily mean God's not there. Now, he was judging, but he's going to take care of his people. One of the best messages I remember being preached here was Brother Fisher came in on a Thursday night. And he talked about being in Goshen. How do you remember that? He said, when all the nonsense was going on in Egypt and God was judging the Egyptians, his people over in Goshen were being taken care of. You know why? Because they were where they were supposed to be. Don't always flee thinking that's what you need to do. That's where you need to be just because there's a hard time. Flip over to Ruth. I want to read a couple of verses out of Ruth, chapter 1. Don't run. It's funny. I don't know how many times as you're turning to Ruth, I've heard people over the years, they'll start missing church. You talk to them, hey, we missed you. How's everything going? How are you doing? And they'll say, well, I'll tell you why I haven't been coming to church. It's because I'm having a hard time right now. I got this problem in my life, and I'm thinking to myself, that's the time you need church. That's not the time you, listen, it's easy to be where you're supposed to be when things are easy, things are going well. But man, when you're having a hard time, that's where you need to be. You need to be at church. Don't supplant yourself. Don't take yourself away where God wants to help you. Ruth chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the day times when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So there's a famine, and they're not, by the way, they weren't supposed to go to Moab. God had specifically told them, hey, don't you go to Moab. You separate yourself from those people. They're not God worshipers. But because of the famine, they made a decision to go there. Why? Well, there's food there. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. So here she is, not where they're supposed to be. Now the husband dies. Verse 4, and they took them, her sons, wives of the women of Moab. Strike 2, they weren't supposed to do that. The name of the one was Orpah, not Oprah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. I thought they were just going temporarily. Verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Sounds to me like things didn't go very well for them there. Sounds to me like they brought, now again, you say, well, Ruth, okay, that was God's grace. Just because God in his grace allowed Ruth to be a help doesn't mean it was right for them to do that in the first place. It went against God's dictates. Fact of the matter is, when they showed back, when they finally went home, back to where they were supposed to be, they all saw Naomi and they couldn't believe how bad she looked. They said, are you Naomi? And then she said, don't call me Naomi anymore. The word Naomi means pleasant. She said, call me Mara. Mara means bitter. She was bitter about, she said, because God had dealt bitterly with me. No, God didn't. They left where they were supposed to be. Elijah, I'm going to take care of you, but you better be where you're supposed to be. People run all the time. Running doesn't help a problem. It magnifies it and it worsens it. That's all it does. And can I just tell you something? If you run from here to there, there's going to be a problem over there too. It always cracks me up. Well, you know, my boss is a real jerk. And I'm going to go work somewhere else. You know, it's almost like God has a sense of humor. He'll probably make sure that the boss you have over there is just as tough on you as the boss over there. Could it be God's trying to teach us something and we ran from it? So God says, kids crack me up. I am sick of my parents telling me what to do. I'm going to join the army. Brilliant idea. That's going to work out nicely. But we leave. We don't go. You know, so people like, you know, the economy's hard here. You know, the houses are expensive. I'm going to move to Wichita. The houses in Wichita are only $70,000. Let me explain something to you. The reason the houses in Wichita are only $70,000, nobody wants to live there. Wichita, just think of the name, Wichita. How many want to live in Wichita? Well, I'll stop in Topeka. That's worse. The problem is the problem. Deal with it where you're at. Don't run. In your marriage, you know, I'm having trouble. I'll just take off and I'll go get me a new one. Andale. You got some real issues, don't you? Oh, I'm sorry. You're thinking of other people. Yes. They were all thinking about you. You know, listen, if you're going to have, I know this is hard for you to believe. You might have some bumps in your marriage. So, no, we didn't have bumps in my marriage. An atom bomb blew up. Okay. Guess what? Be committed to loving and the relationship and you'll be all right. I'm going to run. And, that's how affairs start. You're at work with some lady. She's all kind and sweet, and she looks all nice because that's what they do at work. When she goes home, she looks the same way your wife does, and she leaves the kindness at work. Okay? I'm not saying they're all the same. I'm just saying you're basing it on something that's not real. Every relationship is going to need commitment to make it work. And by the way, it's worth a commitment. You know, in church or in your spiritual life, I'm just kind of having a drought. You know, I've been reading my Bible. I'm not getting something out of it. That doesn't mean you stop. Keep going. Be where you're supposed to be. Don't run. Running is a very, very bad habit. Number two. So you want to be where you're supposed to be. Number two, you want to do what you're supposed to do. So he went and did, verse 5, according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. You know what he did? He said, God told me to do something. I'm going to do it. Disobedience to God during a hard time doesn't help a problem. Makes it worse. Oh, but you know, I tried this God thing. First of all, it's not a God thing. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's like saying, I tried this marriage thing. It's not a marriage thing. It's a relationship with my wife. You know, and it's, by the way, you don't try it. I remember years ago, I was a teenager, me and my buddy, we were at a mall. We were there to get Cinnabon, probably, I don't know. We were at the mall, and they had this little test taste center. And now, I don't know who had this idea. I don't know if they were messing with us. They said, we have hot Dr. Pepper. We're test tasting it to see what the public thinks. They took Dr. Pepper, and they heated it up, and they actually thought that was a good idea. I went over there and test tasted. I'm like, that is... No, we didn't say it. I'm sorry. That's garbage. That's bad. You know what it tasted like? It tasted like what you think when I said hot Dr. Pepper. It's horrible. And I'm like, that's not going to work. That's not how marriage is. That's not how Christianity is. Well, let me take a test taste here, and, you know, I'll take it for a test drive. No, let's be committed. Amen. Now, if you really taste of the Lord, you'll see that he's good. I get that. But yeah, I tried this thing. Well, really, did you try it with all your heart? Because if you have a backdoor plan already, you're not really trying it with all your heart. But you know what he did? He said, listen, it doesn't make sense. He wants me to go out here to this place, and this is where he, and then look at the plan that he had. And I'm going to have the ravens feed you. Not the Baltimore Ravens, all right? The ravens. Birds. They're going to bring you food. It's like, that doesn't make sense. But you know what he did? He said, God said it. Do what you're supposed to do. Thanks. It seems like the more I do that's right, the worse things get. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. Amen. We're just too emotional. When we say it's not working, it's usually an emotional thing. Don't let your emotions drive the bus. Kick them to the back. Okay? So let's be where we're supposed to be. Let's do what we're supposed to do. I know this. Disobeying God never solves anything. And I wonder how many people have had a problem in their life, and instead of going through it and learning what God has, at the last minute they jump out, and they jump out right before the moment when God was ready to do something for them. I remember years ago, we were in the early days of the church. Of course, you know, pastor was supported as a missionary, so we all worked, and I was working at a warehouse, and we went through a real hard time there. We moved, the business moved, and so we were working 16, 17 hours. We stayed as long as we could. They said, because we were supposed to, it was bad. And we were living downtown, and we were living in a bad area, and we're down there, and I'm coming home at 3 or 4 in the morning after working 16 hours. And I remember I'm driving down Cherry Avenue. A guy's out from a bar. He's trying to hit my car with a baseball bat. And don't worry, I ran over him. It was fine. And then I come home. There's a guy breaking into our, we were the managers. A guy breaking into the laundry. I had to chase him. It was just nuts. And the next one day I get up, my wife's like, hey, yeah, the kids and I were walking down the grocery store, and they saw five bodies. Five people have been shot on our block. And I'm just like, I don't want to be here anymore. And we actually decided to move out of state. Not Wichita. We're going to move up north. We went up there for a week. I'm like, you know what? This is the place to be. I'm tired of all the drama. It's junk. And I remember I came back, and we had set a time to leave, and I'm driving. I'm not kidding. I mean, I'm driving down 10th Street. And there's people fighting right in the middle of the street. I'm thinking, well, I'll pull over and watch this. At least that's entertaining. But all this drama's going on, just thinking, it doesn't matter. Let people shoot people down the street. I'm on my balcony of my apartment. I'm looking down the alley. The cops were chasing this guy. And I'm like, great. I didn't have to watch cops. It was right there. And the guy got away. I'm thinking, isn't that they always get away. And we're just like, we're out of here. But can I tell you something? The only thing we did that was smart, we said, we're going to wait 6 months. And I tell you something, if we would have moved, that would have been the worst thing. And by the way, right after we decided to stay, God provided a means for us to have our own business where I didn't even have to work in the warehouse anymore. And now I had all this time to work at the church. But I would have missed it if we would have left and went up north. And that was all based on emotion. It was all based on nonsense. It was a drought in my life. I'm glad we didn't make a bad decision. Number three, receive what you're supposed to have. Receive what you're supposed to have. Verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning. That sounds like a sandwich. Meat and bread, right? How many think that's a sandwich? Okay. And bread and flesh in the evening. Okay. Same thing. And he drank of the brook. So during the drought, God's like, in the morning, he got a breakfast sandwich. In the evening, he got a dinner sandwich, and he had water whenever he wanted. He was taken care of. Now, it doesn't say that he was able to order what he wanted. I don't think the raven came by and he said, listen, I'll take two Big Macs. Well, why you would eat McDonald's is beyond me. That's not even real food. We'll go to Five Guys. I'll get one of the hamburgers and all the stuff on it. It's great. He may not have got exactly what he wanted to have, but can I just tell you something? He was taken care of. You know what happens? Times get a little tight and we're taken care of, but we whine about the fact that we're taken care of. We don't think about the stuff that God's given us. We think about what we don't have. Can I just tell you something? There's a lot of people a lot worse off than you. Hey, if you got up and you got to eat today, and it looks like we got to eat today, be thankful. May not be what you wanted it to be, but if God's taking care, I my job, it's a little rough right now at my job. Hey, be thankful you have a job. It's contentment. It's all a matter of how you look at it. I don't want to drink out of the brook Cherith. That beats the people that were scrounging for water. Receive what God wants you to give. Don't be so discontented. I love the story in Aesop's Fables. There was a man in Aesop's Fables, one of the fables he wrote, where this man was offered he could have whatever he wanted anytime. He had any wish he wants. All you do is ask for it, and it would be given to him. There was just one catch. Anything he asked for, his neighbor would get twice as much. So the guy goes, I want to have a new home. So he tells him, I want a new home. He got a new home. Boom. His neighbor got two. He wanted a pot of gold. He goes, man, I wish for a pot of gold. He got it. His neighbor got two. He wished for a whole new wardrobe. He got it. His neighbor got twice as much. It was the greed and the jealousy was killing him. So he thought, I know what I'll do. So he went back, he told the guy, he goes, I wish that I was blind in one eye. Think it through. Discontent, no matter what we have, it's never enough. And we're not thankful for what God has. Don't look at what other people have. Look at what God's providing for you and be content with it. When you go through tough times, and we've all went through it, you may not have everything you want. But as long as you have what you need, be thankful. Number four, prepare for obstacles like you're supposed to. Verse 7, everything's going pretty good. He's got a brook of water. The birds are bringing meals every day, two meals a day. Verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Everything's going okay. I mean, we had this downturn in the economy, and now there's a drought, but God's taking care of me. Everything's okay. And then after a while, now the brook dries up, so now he has a problem. I thought things were going to get better. You know, sometimes before they get better, they get worse. I heard someone say, you know the saying, when the going gets tough, the tough get going? Someone else has said, but when the tough get going, the going gets tougher. Don't you feel like that sometimes? It's like one thing after another. It's like Job. Job lost his, he lost his children. He lost a lot of his, wealth and his cattle and his animals he had. And here he is sitting in his house. And I like the little phrase. I have the verses here. We won't turn there because of time. But someone comes and tells him the Sabians came and they took away all your cattle and they killed all the servants with the edge of the sword. And I'm only escaped to tell thee. And then the verse 16, while he was yet speaking, there came also another. And this guy comes and he brings bad news. And the verse later it says, while he was yet speaking, there came also another. And this guy comes and he has bad news. And the next verse says, while he was yet speaking, there came also another. It was like boom, 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 boom. Bad news after bad news after bad news after bad news. Hey, be ready. Things may get worse before they get better. Just because you're going through a tough time doesn't mean, well, this is all I got to deal with. There might be something else you have to deal with. But you can make it. Just do the things you're supposed to do. Don't get this fatalist attitude like, no matter what I do, things get worse. At some point, it's going to stop. And by the way, Job stuck it out. The worst part is, he went through all this nonsense. Then his wife is like, hey, why don't you just curse God and die? Thanks for the encouragement, sweetheart. And then his buddies come. Oh, my friends are here to comfort me. I mean, my wife's struggling right now. I'll give her some, you know, she's fine. I love her. Let her go, take it easy. And my friends are here to encourage me. You know what they said? It's because you're sinning. You're hiding something, Job. There's something wrong with you. It's like a guy couldn't catch a break. But can I just tell you something? He did what he was supposed to do. He was all those things he was supposed to do. And what happened at the end? Well, God got on his friends. Uh-huh. He gets double of everything he had before. Uh-huh. His wife had to have 10 more kids. Okay? Things worked out. Albert, you're halfway there. Obstacles come. Just look, it may get a little tougher before it gets a little better. Be prepared for it. Number 5, move with flexibility when you're supposed to. Look at verse 8. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God was still going to take care of him, but the dynamics changed. He had to be willing to change. He said, okay, I know you've been here now, but I still got somebody to help you, but now you're going to have to move on. Be flexible. Get over here, and you're going to be taken care of. He had to be willing to change what he was doing. He could have said, well, wait a minute. I've been here for a while. I kind of like the ravens. I mean, we get along real well. I've named them. Billy Bob Raven and Bobby Joe. Whatever. Did you say Heckle and Jekyll? I do remember them. You have some real issues, huh? It's okay. We're praying for you. We're going to take him to the nursery next week. But he could have been stubborn and said, no, I like it here. I ain't moving. I know the brook is dry, but, you know, maybe there'll be some. God said, no. You need to make some changes here. This isn't going to work for you right here, right now. I got something else for you. And you, the birds aren't coming back. Okay, they're done. Goodbye, Heckle and Jekyll. Okay, water's done. It's dried up. You can dig all the wells you want. There's no water. What's going to happen now? I'm going to send you somewhere else, and there's a widow woman there. She's going to take care of you. That's the plan now. But you got to be willing to change. Hey, you know, sometimes in a drought, God is trying to teach us some things, so we need to change. By the way, if you have a financial drought, let me just help you this. You know how you need to change? You need to change your spending habits. Maybe you have a relationship drought. It could be, like we talked about this morning, you need to change some things in your relationship. You need to change some things you're doing in your relationship to make it better. But don't just get stuck on where you're at. Be flexible to do what God wants you to do. Well, you know, that's just how I am. I've always done things that way. If you always do things the way you've always done them, you're always going to get what you've always got. Okay? Make some changes if you need to. We must hasten. Number six. This is the last one. Continue being generous like you're supposed to. We're going to read a few new verses here. Look at verse 10 of 1 Kings 17. Our text, we stopped at verse 9. So now the plan changes, and he was flexible enough to change and to do what God wanted him to do and make the changes he needed to make so he could be taken care of. Verse 10 tells us how this worked out. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. So he goes there, and God points out the widow woman, and she's gathering some sticks and doing something there. And he goes, excuse me, ma'am, can you give me some water? Verse 11, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. You know, he's like, by the way, since you're going to get me some water, can you get me something to eat? You ever do that? Huh? Can you get me a glass of water? Well, since you're walking by the refrigerator, can you grab a sandwich too? And since you happen to be by the stove, can you make some mashed potatoes and gravy? All right, let's get back to the preaching. He says, hey, can you bring me a little bread too? Verse 12. And she said, she's going to explain a story to him. As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel. Just a little bit of meal to make some bread, make some food. And a little oil in a cruse, just a little. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. See, she was also in a famine situation. So she says, I'm going to get a little meal. I'm going to mix it with oil. I'm going to mix it up. And then my son and I are going to eat what I have left because there's not much. And then that's it for us. We have no more food. We have no more way of getting food. We're going to end up dying. Now, she might have been a little dramatic, but she didn't have anything left. Verse 13. Listen to what Elijah says. After hearing all of this, here's what he says. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and afterwards make for thee and thy son. He goes, I get it, but just listen to what I'm telling you. Go make some bread and give it to me first, and you and your son can have whatever's left. Make some more for your son. Now he gives her a promise. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. He said, if you do that, here's what's going to happen. That little barrel where you have the meal, every time you take out of it, it's never going to empty. God's going to miraculously fill it up for you. And the oil, when you use the oil, when you come back next time to get some more, there's always going to be some for you. Maybe you're weird. Have you ever got like the end of the toothpaste thing? Maybe I'm just weird or tight water or whatever, but I'm like, you can always get one more tooth. How many of you are like that? Okay, now the girls, they kind of just crush. I don't know, someone crushes it, and I'm like, I get it. I roll it up, and you get real creative. You can kind of get it to the point where, you know, you can push up under it and get just a little bit more. And it's almost like a game. Like, how many more can I get out of this thing? You like that? It's like, man, I got six more out of this thing, and I thought it was empty. That's what she did for the rest of the drought. For the rest of the drought, every time she went there and she thought she was down to her end, she grabbed it and said, hey, there's a little more toothpaste left. Hey, there's oil. Every time she went back, if she would do what Elijah said, it would never go empty. God would provide for her. Verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. You know what? Every day she got up, she made food for Elijah, her, and her son. Dinner, Elijah, her, and her son. Every day throughout the rest of the drought. What's the point there? This is more talking about a financial standpoint. Sometimes we get a little tight financially, and the first thing we do is start disobeying God in this area. The best thing we can do when things get tight is to continue to be what God wants us to be. Because I know this, when things are tight and we're trying to dig ourselves out of a hole, particularly financially, the first thing we need to do is make sure we're faithful to God. Why? Look, when you're having tough times financial, let me give you three things to do. Keep giving the tithe because God blesses you when you do that and you need God's blessing. But secondly, have a spending plan. I'll just give to God and he's going to bless my finances. We'll go to Morton Steakhouse tomorrow with Brother Beck. Okay, never eat at a place that does not have prices on the menu. And never eat at McDonald's, all right? Have a spending plan. And some of you just need to get a job. Okay, that was free. I thought I'd just throw that in there. We'll just work with you on that one. But what we do is we cut off the very source of the blessing we need to get out of our problems. We're not generous anymore. You know, well, what I'll do is I won't be generous with my time. In other words, I'll get two or three jobs and I'll work all my time and I'll miss church to work. Again, you're doing the same thing. You're stopping God's blessing. And if we're going to get out of a problem, we need to do our part. Don't get me wrong. We have got to do our part. If you don't live on a budget, you're going to have financial problems. And you're going to end up using a credit card, which is going to kill you. And again, God doesn't want you to live like that. Have a plan. Know what's going on, but make sure we have God involved in the equation. Because if you say, oh, that's easy for you, you're doing fine. Listen, there were times when we had to either buy food or tithe, and we always tithed. Because I needed God's blessing. Can I just tell you something? We got it. Always took care of us. Okay? Time. Well, and you'd be tempted to say, I'll miss church and go do this and that. Listen, let's make sure we give God that what's his in any area of our life. And you know what God does? God takes care of us. He leads us, and he guides us. Did I say that was the last one? It's not the first time I've lied. Number 7. There's a lot of comedians out of work. I have no idea why he wants to be one. Number 7, and this is just an encouragement. Get through it like you're supposed to. There's a light at the other end of the tunnel, and it's not an oncoming train. Sometimes, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. I know, it's a train. You're done. No, that's not what we're talking about. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. You can get through a problem. You can get through a tough time. In verse 1 of chapter 18, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, so it was over 3 years, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. God says, okay, we're done. Go talk to Ahab and tell him I'm going to make it rain. And God did make it rain. Some of us are waiting for rain in our life. California is waiting for rain, period. We really don't want rain here until we finish the parking lot. But you have a problem in your life, and you need God's blessings to shower down to help you with that. You need to get through it, and it's been a tough time, and how am I going to make it through there? Listen, do the things we mentioned tonight, and guess what? You're going to get through it. God's never going to send anything to destroy you. God's not trying to crush us. God wants to use us. God wants to bless us. But sometimes we just go through tough times. That's how it is. But as long as we do the things we're supposed to do, we'll come out on the other side and we'll be better off for it. But if we negate the things we're supposed to do, we might take that drought and we might just make it worse. And when we come out on the other side, we've left a trail of broken lives and problems that we've created. Let's just do the things that we know we're supposed to do. Let's all stand together this evening.